disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is one of my favorite Sundays in the life of the church. The Sunday on which we celebrate World Communion, and for Presbyterians, the Sunday we traditionally receive the Peace and Global Witness Offering, formerly known as the Peacemaking Offering. I am thrilled, really, by the sure knowledge that on this day, Christians all over the world can affirm that our Lord comes to us in bread and cup, and that we, at least on one day, have a sense, get a glimpse of the heavenly banquet, where indeed they will come from north and south and east and west and sit in the presence of the risen Christ. I love the chance to sing music from around the world, to have a communion table set with different breads, symbolizing different cultures with different cloths. And surely the Peace and Global Witness Offering is one of our denomination's most hope-filled ministries. Funds are used at global, national, regional, and local level to support efforts, such as the joint effort of the Peacemaking Program and the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance in their ongoing humanitarian, ongoing now for some years, response to the crisis in Syria. So, in light of all this excitement on my part, you can imagine my struggle with our gospel text, where Luke has Jesus teaching the disciples by means of a parable centered on slavery. Even if you substitute the word servant for slave, as some translations do, and I think that's helpful, the text is kind of a downer. For one thing, we have trouble entering into this slavery metaphor, even though we know that slavery was a fact of life in first century Palestine. In that time, though, people worked as slaves or servants for a prescribed period of time, perhaps a few years, and then they were free. They were not slaves for life. It was more of an economical thing at that point. So Jesus was using a familiar situation to illustrate what it means to live as one under someone else's authority. But that knowledge doesn't make the parable much more palatable to us. So I make sure you to hear these three statements. One, that this is going to be more of a homily than a sermon, meaning it's a little shorter. Two, that my considerable study of this text gleaned only one really helpful image, and I'm going to share that with you. And that three, I'm going to lay upon this text a suggested response that would be unlikely to pass muster with serious scholars of Scripture. So let me set up the helpful image. I included the first 4 verses of chapter 17, even though the lectionary text itself only begins with verse 5, where the apostles say to Jesus, increase our faith. The first 4 verses tell us why they say this. Jesus has told them they better not be stumbling blocks for others. And he's told them that they must forgive any among them who repents, even up to 7 times a day, which just means always. In Matthew's gospel, it's 70 times. Well, we know how hard that can be. And so we're not surprised when the apostles say, we're not prepared to do that. Increase our faith. We need more faith. So then Jesus uses this metaphor of the mustard seed to show them that it's not having lots of faith that's important. The very smallest amount will do. The hard part is to trust God to use even that smallest seed of faith to do what needs to be done. In other words, you only need the faith God gives you to trust and obey, as the old song goes. So then Jesus tells them this parable that, like so much of his teaching, is intended to shake things up, to turn expectations upside down. He says, you expect your slave or your servant to do his outside work and then come in and serve you dinner before he sits down to eat. That's what's expected. So there's no real special reward. Well, guess what? That's what's expected of you as well. Obedience to God without thanking us. In other words, faith is a willingness to do what needs to be done. Faith is not some scarce resource that needs to be saved, spent, added to, anything like that. Moreover, faith isn't always heroic. Indeed, it usually isn't. But instead is simply and humbly doing what needs to be done. That might be something big or small, great or mundane, just because it needs doing. So here's the helpful image. It comes from a scholar named David Buttrick, who is retired from teaching at Vanderbilt Divinity School. He acknowledges our difficulty with translating this slavery metaphor into our own experience. He suggests that we think about a public servant. So he tells it this way. When the mail carrier delivers your mail, you do not invite her in saying, have a seat, put your feet on my footstool, let me turn on this widescreen TV for you. Could I mix you a dry martini? No, you do not treat your mail carrier in a special way for doing what he or she is supposed to do. So, when you have done all you are bound to do, say, we are undeserving, for we have done nothing more than what we were supposed to do. I hope that helps you. That helps me a little bit. I like the image, perhaps because I always thought I would like to be a mail carrier. I mean, it's important work. Well, it's not as important as it used to be, I guess. But it's important work. It's vital. It requires stamina. It builds strength in each day's journey. And knowing you've delivered that day's mail is its own reward. It's what's expected. It's good enough. What if we thought about our Christian lives in that way? What if we thought about ourselves as carriers of the good news of the gospel every day? What if our lives exhibited to others that even the smallest gift of faith can be delivered to another through a listening ear, a warm embrace, a genuine smile, a helping hand, a voice for justice, a sharing of the peace of Christ, the shalom of our God? What important work. It does require stamina. But the Spirit builds strength within us for each day's journey, and each day's delivery of the good news is its own reward. It's what's expected. Obedience to God. And it's good enough. So here's the suggested response. On the Sunday when we're called to recognize our true unity with all who follow Jesus, our true unity. On the Sunday when we are called to claim our identity as carriers of Christ's peace, to be peacemakers, I suggest that we intentionally pay attention to one another. Now, while that is what is expected of us as people of, as mature people of faith, I know I can testify that it slips away. It slips away in the busyness of each day, in the temptation to multitask, while we're still with somebody, we're thinking of the next thing we've got to do. Or maybe we're not even listening to them because something they said triggered something we want to say. So let me further concretely suggest that we choose one day of the coming week, one day, to dedicate ourselves to being truly present to those around us, to listen to others, to make eye contact, to truly be present to those around us. And I'm not just talking about family members or fellow students or co-workers, everyone. Maybe the checker at Kroger. Everyone. If we can do it for one day each week, maybe we can add a second day. It's what's expected. Obedience to God. And it's good enough. And to the God of all peace be glory. Amen.